Let's start. Well, after Seven Prakam, we finally met Ezra last week, and you're happy to know he's still here.
Well, we heard about his background, anyway.
Right. Well, we spent a fair amount of time on it. Now it's a little bit of a longer parak with not that much excitement in it, but we managed to get enough sources out of it. So, Parakhas, Pasuk Aleph, Eilu Roshei Avoseihem v'his yachsam ha'olim imi b'malchus achar tashta noch mi'bavel. So he says, these are the people. So remember, we had an original group that went up with Zerubbabel. That was years ago. We're not sure how many years ago. It depends how you count the kings. And now Ezra is coming with his own group. Ezra, again, you'll note very much in the first pasuk, is speaking in first person. Right, he says very clearly that came up imi, with me, right? Meaning that there shouldn't be any doubt as to who the author here is, because Ezra is referring to Ezra, and he refers to him as me. So therefore, undoubtedly Ezra wrote this part. So he says these are the people that came up with us, and he goes to the list: Bibnei Pinchas, Gershom, Bibnei Isamar, Daniel, Bibnei David, Chatush, right? Not the name of a pet, gives a list of all the people, of just some random names. We'll see Menim Shachanya, Mibnei Parosh, Zachariah, Vimo, Hisyaches, Alchorim, Meya, Vachamishim. He gives a list of people, and he says this comes out to 150 people came out with this group.
It's not a lot.
That's, again, with this, no, we're going to add more.
Okay.
Right? Again, the numbers itself will not be overwhelming. But you know, as he says, that the number itself, we're not dealing with the huge numbers here, unfortunately. This is an ongoing problem that we have.
Because people did not want to come back.
What?
From Babylonia.
Correct. People were comfortable. So we go on, just this list of names. We'll stop from time to time when we get an interesting one. Bibnei Pachas Moav Eliya Yehoenai Ben Zerachi Bimo Masayim Hazucharim. Right? He comes up, this fellow, the guy who is the Pachas, the governor of Moab, right? He comes up with him 200 men. Yimneishchanya ben Yachaziel v'imo shalosh me'a zucharim. It's interesting. As you're reading this, these numbers sound very round.
Right.
See, this, you wonder if these numbers are accurate or not. Let's just keep on reading before we answer that question. So he says, "Mnei Adin Eved Ben Yonasan v'imo chamishim zecharim." Adin, and the guy's name was Eved. That's not what he did for a living, right? 50 people. Also sounds still round. "Mnei Elam Yishayo Ben Atalia v'imo shivim hazecharim." He has 70. Okay. "Mnei Shafatia Zavadia Ben Michal v'imo shmonim hazecharim." "Mnei Yoav Ovadia Ben Yachiel v'imo masayim ushmona esrei hazecharim." Ah. Right, we hit a number, and he has how many people with him? 218. 218. Right, so the numbers you'll note from here, it's interesting because it indicates that all the numbers beforehand were not rounded. Right, all the 50s and 100, those numbers, for whatever reason, hit the nail on the head, because now we have a 218. Yes.
Going through this and looking at the names, so Yoav and Shaphat and Athaliah, those are names that appear elsewhere in Tanakh related to David HaMelech. Right? Yoav is like his nephew.
Yoav, yes.
Athaliah is this wicked.
Well, again, that's long after David HaMelech. Like David dies at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, and Athaliah is the queen back in Shmuel Beis hundreds of years later.
Okay.
Right? So that's not related, right? Athaliah is a bad woman. But
this is just coincidence. That
not necessarily. I mean, names throughout Jewish history, as long as you're naming after people. I thought you'd point out that we've already had on the list the same name twice. And that was? Anyone notice?
Was that the idea?
We'll get Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Hey. There are two guys named Shechanya. Right? So that's probably more noticeable. Some of the fortune point that there's Shechanya and there's Shechanya ben Yachaziel to indicate that these are different people.
Do we assume they're families and women and children, or just the male?
Well, yeah, we're just listing the males. We assume that they came with women and children as well. Next, a very interesting one, B'nei Shlomit, Ben Yosifa, Yosifia, V'imo, Me'ya V'shishim HaZacharim. There you have the name Shlomit. Shlomit is notably a boy's name. What? No, it's a boy's name, meaning that there are Shlomits out there. I think you know some yourself, right? And
the only Shlomit who I know is female.
Yeah, well, tell her she's got a problem here. Right?
Also Carol.
But Ubnei Bevi Zachariah ben Bevi v'imo Esim v'shmona Zacharim, again a 28, very non-rounded number. Ubnei Asgad, right, Yochanan ben Hakotan v'imo Meya v'asara Zacharim, and the sons of Yonatan ben Hakotan. We will actually start doing sources because I know Carl wants to do this one, but right, we have here, these are just lists of names. Some of them are relevant from other places, some of them are not. We're just listing them off to get who came and why they came. That's what we have here. So let's start from the beginning. We have a Mishnah in Parah. And the Mishnah in Parah talks about how many Parah Adumas were there in history. Again, one of my great memories here from my trips to Denver is I once convinced someone to go to the stock show with me so I could look for a Parah Aduma. We were unsuccessful, and I think, but I remember I so many of my other trips, I learned a lot from it. One, I learned that horses are still measured in tfachim, the height of a horse, hand breadths, and in fact, the horses follow the opinion of the Chazon Ish. You know, the tefach is 4 inches. That was one thing that I learned, which was an eye-opener to me at the stock show. The other thing I learned is I was shocked. So, you know, when they march out the animals to win the blue ribbons, etc., so they spray paint them beforehand. If you have, like, a black animal and it has a few gray hairs,
they just spray.
And therefore, once I saw that, my search for the Parah Aduma was over. I didn't believe anything in that show anymore. I tried to get Jeff Auerbach to go with me. He originally said yes, then he backed out. You know, I figured I wanted a pro. Nah, didn't happen. Okay, so going back to the Mishnah in Parah, it says, "Mi asom harishona asom Moshe." Moshe Rabbeinu did the first Parah Aduma. Vashni asa Ezra. And then Ezra went and he did the second Parah Aduma. He actually had one. Now, it gives you an idea. How long did that first one last?
Be a ton of people with two
musmates, though. Right, but how much does each of them need? Right, a little ashes and you can put them into a lot of water.
Yep.
Right, so these suckers last.
Well, they're also big animals.
Right?
It's a big animal that you're reducing to ashes.
That is correct. Right, so he says, V'chamishim me'ezer ve'elach, divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says there was 5 more, v'chamishim me'ezer ve'elach. He said, no, there were 7 more. Right? Umi Yason, who were these people? So Shimon HaTzadik, V'Yochanan Kohen Gadol, also Shtayim Shtayim. Right? So Shimon HaTzadik got to do 2 in his day. Right? You have also Yochanan Kohen Gadol, right? That was probably the father of
Matisyo
ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Right? This, of course, talks about this deals with the question of whether Matisyahu was a Kohen Gadol himself. We had mentioned that over the summer. Yes?
About the Parah Aduma, it wouldn't matter that it lasted that long. When the temple was destroyed, the Babylonians didn't say, is there any ritual thing you would like to take with you?
Right, but even if it lasted just from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that's 900 years.
Yeah,
right, so the fact that it didn't make it the next 70 years to Ezra doesn't bother me, right? Right. The fact that it didn't make it past the destruction, right, but it was 480 years from the time they left Mitzrayim until they got to the, until Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash lasted over 400 years. So that's a solid, so up until Ezra, that's a good 900 years. That's a significant amount. So So there we go. So there's two and two. Who are the other ones? Elihuani ben Hakof, Vachanamael Hamitzri, Yishmol ben Piavi, also Achas, Achas. And these other three people each did one. Tosfos Yonta points out, by the way, those names that mean nothing to you, they both appear on this list. Right? These names, they said, Elihuani, Ushneem Nimsam Beksuvim Ezra Ches. Etc. He says, what's exactly his name? Is it with the Yud? Is it with the Vav? Is it without? That's unclear. But it's worth noting that, again, among the people, so you'll get Pasuk Dalad, right? We have Eli Yehoani, right? And he wasn't just a regular guy, but this is somebody who actually prepared one of the very few Parah Adumas in history. So that is notable. We'll get Pasuk Zion again, another person whose name doesn't mean much to us when we read through the list. The Dasov said, Yashayo ben Atalia, Atalia Hayashem Malcha Marsha'as. That she was a bad queen. He says, and therefore, even though the person was a bad person, still we give this name over to other people. Which is interesting because generally we don't do that. Now also the Das Elfen points out this is just a random statement because the Italian question here is a guy. So it's unlikely he was named after her. But this idea that you can name after somebody who's really, really, really bad, right, that's a notable comment as well.
But why would you do that?
Hate your kids?
I
had this idea that I think you shouldn't name your kids like they're bar or bas mitzvah so you can hold it over their heads. No, you don't have to do your homework, Isidore. No, do what you want. Gertrude.
Right?
Again, there are questionable names. I walked the Nimrod down the aisle.
Did you? I did.
Right, right. Omri's, there are a lot of Omri's out there, you know.
Do you have any Esau's?
What?
I've never heard that one.
Rabbi Yishmael, right?
Well,
it was.
Have a Rabbi Yishmael. He took that.
Well, right.
Yishmael did tshuva at the end.
Okay.
His kids aren't doing so well.
So again, next time one of your kids makes a bris, you know, and has a dream, let's see what if Yishmael comes up. Not that I was paying attention or anything, but okay. Go one more. Good morning, Baba Basra. My Xiva Hadad Shama Bimitraim Kishachav David Imavosov Kimes Yov Sarzava Mimab Bidovin Nemra Boshiva Bayov Nemra Bo Misa. He says, sometimes when someone dies, we say that he's shachav, he lied down. Another time he says he died. Dava shenicho bein nemer bo shchiva, yo shenicho bein nemer bo misa. So he says that, well, there's a difference. If you have children, they say you lie down. If you didn't leave children, unfortunately, they said it's over. But doesn't it say here that he has kids, right? No, he just wasn't of the same status. That yes, this was an actual descendant of Yoav, but wasn't quite as good as the other man, Zentite. Right. Finally, we had here in Yud Beis, which we just stopped before, we had Ben Hakotan, right? So Rav Schwab, who has a true sense of humor like a Real Yekka says, an interesting name, Mr. Klein. Mm-hmm. So, in case you wonder where it comes from, according to Rishwab, the name Klein comes from here. Ben Hakatan is a Mr. Klein.
Shmuel Hakatan did the Amida or something?
He did Vlam Al Shinim.
Okay.
Kirchas Amida. Okay. Continuing, Yud Gimel B'nei Adoni Kam Acharonim Ve'erosh Mosam Eliferet Yi'ia Oshmaya Ve'imahem Shishim Zacharim. And finally, we have these people. Now, what does the word Acharonim mean? So, it says here, Shol Nishma Zeh Shum Adam B'chot La'aretz. So, actually, I skipped one. Rashi says, Show you Acharonim Lechas Achrei Ezra. He sees it as a negative. They were the last ones who decided to come, as opposed to the Malbim sees it as a very positive things is where he says that, in fact, this family had sent people earlier with Zerubbabel, and these were the final members of the family to come. I mean, this is a rare family that everybody actually made Aliyah. So that's why it's being said in a positive way. Okay, that's the final list. This is the first third of the paragraph or so. Just a list of the people that came down with Ezra. We'll note a few notes here and there. Now, he says, so we finally got there. We paused 3 days before we did anything. Right? We gathered together, and I noticed that unlike this shul, they have Kohanim, but they don't have Levim.
That's the way it used to be.
At the old minig, right? So he says, "V'ashlocha le'Eliezer lo'Ariel v'Hashamia v'Alinasim le'Yariv v'Alinasim le'Nasim le'Zachariah v'Meshul v'Meroshim v'Yovel v'Alinasim v'Vinim." So he went and I sent out a whole bunch of people, and I said, "We can't run a base mikdash without Levim." V'asaveh osam al ido harosh v'kasfiya v'makom v'asima b'fiyam dvarim l'daber al ido achiv. So we said to him, "You gotta get us some waiters. We need Levim." So he sends the people in charge. "You gotta send us some people." Right. So we got two families. One had 18 Levim, the other had 20 Levim. Right. So what's going? So what? What's going on with the Levim? Well, again, they didn't send, meaning that the king had ordered that they go. Right. Nobody had gone. Right. He said the king ordered that I'll be sending all of these donations, and I want you to collect. But somehow we strike out on the Levim. So there's a fair amount to be said about this Levi situation. What's going on here? So, first comment is, we look at the Gemara in Kiddushin, which says, "K'siv akabseim el nahar haba el akva v'nasan sham yamim shlosha v'avina ba makarim b'yei revi romatzasi sham." I couldn't find any Levim. Why not? Why couldn't we find Levim? So Rashi has a very interesting approach, and Rashi says as follows, "Mi haya umi ro haya." Who went, who didn't go, what's going on here? He said, originally, he says, obviously it's clear, when they left, Ezra didn't really know who he had with him, because it took him 3 days to figure out there were no Levim. So he said, why couldn't he figure it out? He said, because all the kosher Levim, unfortunately, were missing their thumbs. What? Right? People are doing certain times of the year when they don't say Shir HaMalo, say Al Naros Bavel. And it says in it, Eich Nashir Ashir Hashem, Alad Mas Nechar. It says, so they said, how can we possibly, as Levim, how can we play music outside of Israel? So what happens? So the Medrash tells us, Shamar Lehem Nevuchad Netzar, Shir Onu Mishir Tzion. So they were mocking them. They said, "Now, how about you play us some nice music like you do in the Beis HaMikdash?" They removed their thumbs with their teeth. Said, "Sorry, can't play the musical instruments." Now, that's very impressive. Not a Levi myself, so I don't know if I've done it either way, but I'm impressed. Lo nashir. They said, we refuse. They thought that wouldn't work. He said, we can't do it. So those people, they were the ones who went back to Israel. Obviously, they were the most idealistic ones, and it's very wonderful that they went back, but they were Balmums. How were they going to do this? They still couldn't play the music.
You'd be a gatekeeper.
But, okay, but we need musicians as well. We should Yoshim Bevavel Beshalva, as opposed to the other people. Minachim, Lo Matzal, if he should Yoshim Bevavel Beshalva, Va'olim, Yerushalayim, Hayim, Ba'oni, Betorach, Habaracha, Be'emis, Kos, Yosef, Hanach, V'yid, Ketani, Mas, Nisan, Ve'hanach, Ochozul, Avod, Hayu. The ones that were kosher, they were comfortable in Bavel. Here they were living large. Why would they want to go pack up and move to a place that was poor? It was dangerous. Right? Why would they want to move to such a little house? So therefore, because of that, that's what happened. That's why they didn't have any. That is the opinion of Rashi. The Ritva actually disagrees. The Rishi says, "Kashrei Rashi, that be Yisod Hamara Shal Ezra Ksiv Mibnei Levi Lo Matzasi Sham." Wait a second, you know. So he asked the questions. He agreed to Rashi, answers that. Yeah, there were Levium, but the Levium were apostle. So 3 lines from the bottom, Vlo Nehira. That doesn't make sense to me. Shrei Nivna Bais Kodim Shel Ezra, Vehikriv Alav Karbanos. Says, I don't understand. The Beis HaMikdash was built before Ezra came. And obviously they were bringing karbanos, we know. In order to bring karbanos, you needed Levium. So they must have already had Levium.
Some were there.
So what are you telling me that, oh, there were these old Levium were psulim? They had to be kosher Levium if that was the case. So he says, V'hech efshar shalo ha'yosham Levium ashorim b'peh v'chi, v'anachem shebimara rishona oru sham mibnei Levi k'sherim, Aval be yisod ha'malo shel ezro oru. By nixim ibnei Levi ro matzasi sham. Achim afosh mikros. He says no, they had Levium, but he was just very upset. How come Levium didn't join me? He could have gotten by without them. He didn't need them because they already had Levium there. But Jesse thought it was wrong that the Levium weren't coming. And that was the issue. It's not because he had Levium, but they were apostles. Yes.
Do we take from this that he's counting? Oh, you're from Yehuda. You're from Binyamin.
Yeah.
And is he trying to get a cross-section of what's going on, or was there a specific reason he wasn't living in?
So again, according to second opinion, there was no specific reason. He could have gotten by without them, as opposed to Rashi thought he specifically needed them. Now, interesting, what's not mentioned in the Navi at all, but is focused on in the Gemara, is that Ezra didn't take this sitting down. He may be not consul of Levium, but Meiser. So Ogu Bimei Ezra. So Ezra, we learn here, may have said that that's it. Levium are not getting Meiser anymore. Meiser Rishon does not go to Levium because you didn't. I didn't mean to shock you, right? Because you didn't show up. So v'hachim b'gbifri marsav a kansel raniim and marsav a kohenim be made to masam aniim denu. So this is machokes exactly who got it instead of the. Not that the people didn't have to pay. Some people say that instead they just gave it to the poor people, the Meiser Rishon. And if people say no, it went to the Kohanim.
So how did the Levium
get by?
Yeah.
Get a job, will you?
Is that how
could he just nullify a Torah law about giving Meiser?
He had the right to do it.
If they're not performing the service, I guess.
That's it.
But hold on. If there were already Levium there.
Oh, so let's
unfair to them.
We'll discuss this a little bit more. Right? If you look at Rashi points out that this whole story that he went and took, that's not in Tanakh.
Right.
I haven't seen it anywhere in Tanakh that this actually happened. Interesting, he refers to Nehemiah's Ezra. So there is a somewhat of an allusion to this much later on towards the end of Nehemiah. But Rashi points out that this, in fact, yeah, we have it as Gemara. And in fact, had we had more time Thursday night when we were discussing the status of Levium, right, that's a point. Is that still true to this day? The Levium still not yet? So, here's what to say about that. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, in his commentary, says, Avinu Dev Matzasi, etc. So he goes through all of it, and he says, is questionable. Lama leilat d'tarach kulehai havu lahasim beretz Yisrael leviim tuva t'sal lehem im zerubavel. Right? He said, but don't we already don't we have from the first few prakim that the whole bunch went? Zehaya Maisa Kodim Ezra. So what's the sense? Lchein behech v'sal lim so pesher dava ki bevade olu im zerubavel leviim rabbi me'atzman. Once they were unsuccessful, remember, they stopped the building. He said, could be all the Levium went back home to Babel. That's one possibility. There were a handful left because they needed them for the Chanukah's Habayis. Right? That's what it says there. Okay, b'shon acher, shalom, ezra v'galu, so'imo, kvar nodelo, so he knew that the Levim had packed out. That's why he wanted to bring more. That's why he was so upset. So he writes very interesting. He said, the Levim who had to be forced to come, they didn't get the Miser. They got it still. So in that he writes very interesting. Nimser Hayusham Beis Kitos Levim. So there must have been two groups of Levim. Some get Miser and some don't get Miser. It's a very original idea. But again, he accepts the idea of like, why? What do you have against the people who did come?
But the Beis HaMikdash was already built and functioning before Ezra came.
Right, Ezra comes late.
And he didn't know who was there before.
No, so the argument is that he knows who he knows how many people went down, but he also knows how many people came back. That's the argument that he's making here.
Also, isn't it just that he's counting the people that come back with him?
What?
We're talking about the people that come.
Correct.
With Ezra.
Right, but Ezra, if there were people, if there were Levim who went with Zerubbabel and then returned to Babel, he would know that
yes,
they were back in Babel. That's the argument. Another minor point here, which happens to be quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, so I'll just quote the Gemara. Amri Belazar haba min aderech ayispal shalosh yamim shinema v'akabsein al nahar haba al achva unachan Hashem shalosh yamim v'avin avam. The fact he said before he did anything, he wanted to pause and gather his thoughts for 3 days. So similarly, the halacha is quoted in the Gemara that after a person travels, they should not daven for the next 3 days.
What?
I know people that are very makbid on this. Right, some of them 3 months, 3 years, and 3 generations. You know, there are such people. We don't paskin that way. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the idea is that a person should have a certain very high level of kavana when they do it, when they daven. Nowadays, we believe that people unfortunately do not have that much kavana. You can do it while you're traveling. You can do it on a plane. You can do it with a boat, you can do it with a goat, it's fine. Right? You can do it wherever you want, Sam I am. It's not an issue. Okay. If you look at the Ritva already points it out. He says that Vahada Minan ki abba min adar shal yispar shoshi yamim amru avosazal shal nemr dvarim elabidoris haheim shal yoribam nachon. In those days when they had such a high level, yeah. Aval Akshav. Akshav is already 700 years ago at least. Either way, let's be honest. It's a little bit like the Gemara also tells us that if somebody does not have proper kavana in the first bracha of Shmon Esrei, you should repeat Shmon Esrei. And the Ramah writes, no, because you're not going to have kavana the second time around either. So what are you going to do? So your whole day saying the first bracha over and over again? Right? So it's an unfortunate fact that, you know,
get into it.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, as we say. Okay, so there it is. So he gets his people. And then he also brought in with him the Nesinim. The Nesinim, of course, were the people who tricked Yehoshua into thinking that they were far away, right? They made a treaty. Therefore, they were said that they had to be...
those were the
what? Right. Synonyms. So they also came back to help the Levim. They brought them as well.
Hmm.
So he took a moment to daven and said, listen, we're about to head on a significant journey. They prayed to God. Rav Schwab comments, this small group of unarmed Jews, consisting of men, women, and children, carrying a great deal of gold and silver, traveling through hundreds of miles of open roads and fields, could have been the target for kidnappers, marauders, and highway robbers. Ezra therefore sought the protection of heaven for a safe trip. This is probably the source for the recitation of Tfilas HaDerech when we set out on a journey. Interesting. So, Rav Schwab's thought on the matter. So they went and they say, Tfilas HaDerech. Seems to be a longer version than we have. Then he says, by the way, the reason we're praying is because, he says, I didn't ask for any help from the king. Ki voshti lishol min ha-melech chayel ufar rashim la'azreinu me'oyev ha-derech. Ki amarnu la-melech le'mor, yad aloheinu al-kol mivakshav v'tovav, uzav apa al-kol ozvav. I turned to the king. Remember, I said to him that I trust in God. So I was a little embarrassed at that point to say, would you mind giving us some an armed escort? So Rav Schwab comments on that again, number 16. And he says, when Ezra decided that the right time had come for the mass return to Eretz Yisrael from Babel, he expected this to be the final stage of the Gula, with Zerubbabel eventually becoming Mashiach. After all, Yeshayahu Navi prophesies that Koresh would be God's messenger to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and this actually happened. Furthermore, the Navi Micha had prophesied that the miracles would occur at the time of the final Gula, similar to those that Yitzias Mitzrayim. As in the days of your exodus from the land of Egypt, I will show it miracles. So Ezra assured the king that Hashem would protect the Jews on their Gula journey back to Eretz Israel. However, as it turned out, this Aliyah did not develop into the final Gula, because only approximately 1,500 men and their women and children, plus the contingent of Levium, who had to be asked to come along, joined this Aliyah. Ezra was therefore embarrassed to ask for military protection for this pitifully small and vulnerable group of foreigners. Rather, he instituted a day of fasting and prayer to ask Hashem for protection during this trip. Had the Jews responded enthusiastically to Ezra's call to return to Eretz Yisrael, and had the vast majority of them joined him, this would have been the final gula. Neither military escort nor fasting for divine protection would have been necessary on the mass return of the Jewish people to their homeland. Right, this is the unfortunate story of the book of Ezra. That had things gone the right way, things would have been much better. Unfortunately, it was a very much a bidyeved. And of course, as we've mentioned from time to time, you know, you look at the Eima Banim Smecha, he's constantly saying, you know, you made the mistake in the second Beis HaMikdash, don't make the mistake in the third Beis HaMikdash. God gives you an opportunity, grab it with both hands. And there are those who will argue that's not exactly what we've done. Okay, we prayed to God and he in fact responded. So then he said, I separated some people out, some of the Kohanim. And since they were in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, I in fact went and I handed them the gold and silver, etc., that they should keep an eye on it. The Gemara in Tainus refers to our tefillin and says, meaning that I said, we put in a request for this, but for that when a person davens, one thing at a time. So that we learn that also from this pasuk. The Sefer Chassidim has a very interesting comment on this. There's an extra vav here that doesn't belong. Why? Mean that Ezra not only was giving over that which he was supposed to give over, but if you remember, there was a fair amount of money which they told him, you can have it and do what you want with it. Ezra gave that over as well. He did not think twice about generously giving over whatever he had. So, Chavav, Ashkara al Yadam Kesef Kikarim Shesh Meos Vachamishim, Ukhe Chesef Meir Kikarim, Zahav Meir Kikar. Gave over significant amounts, right? He gave over 650 kikar kesev. Kikar is a talent. We said that is about 57 kilograms, which is 120 some odd pounds per. So multiply that by 650. Also, there's another 100 kikar worth of silver vessels and 100 kikar of gold, which is what we used to build the Mishkan. Right, and they also gave over other things. Right, he talks about that the copper was so fine that it was as valuable as gold. Said, you are holy people, and what I'm giving you is holy. He says, so therefore, I want you to watch it very closely until it's time to hand it over to the people in Yerushalayim who will be in charge of this. And in fact, they did their job. Let's go back to the source sheet for number 19. Yes, yes. We said that, in fact, Koresh had given it all back. The Medrash tells us, Nivhal lahon ishra ayin v'lo yada ki chasa yivarenu, Nivhal lahon ishra ayin ze Ephron shichnis ayin rabbi manon shal tzadik v'lo yada ki chasa yivarenu shachasraso hatara vav. Said, because Ephron hachiti went and tried to milk Avram for all the money he could get for the Maros HaMachpera, he loses a vav in his name, which is very interesting because we said the word Ve'ashkola gets an extra vav because he was being so generous. So
give him that extra vav.
Right? So it's a nice connection between the two of them. The Sanzer Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim, writes as follows: Shuv hikshem malos kolkos on abalam maor shakosta de bo pritzim hainu shiyotza mehekdes shemalo bo pritzim. He wants to know. Wait a second. As Carl just pointed out, these are all the kelim from the first Beis Hamikdash. Didn't they all lose their holiness when they were defiled at the time of the destruction?
Right. Oh, right? I thought it was at the party.
No. Aval klishar shein yotza mimeila nisha bekedusha. So he said that's only true by certain things, but not the kelim. Shem hachi nisha hakelim beis hamikdash bekedusha she'ein molim b'klisharis vein yotze l'chulin. So he said, okay, that's why you were able to reuse them, because the kelim never lose their kedusha. V'hikshal zos, the question is, adar amino umak klisharis nasu chulin ne nashalein belshatzar haresha kli mikdash nasu chulin. But wait a second, at the party Belshatzar goes and he's using the kelim, and he was punished for that. And they said he stopped it from being holy. So what's the story here? Are these kelim holy or are they not holy? In one place it says that they maintain their kedusha even at the time of the destruction, but then it says when Belshazzar uses them, they lose their kedusha.
Well, they might also lose their kashra.
Belshazzar
is
why do they ever have to be kosher?
Well, if it's being used in the Beis HaMikdash.
For what? Are we eating from them?
Wine and...
That's
good. Showbread? I mean...
Right? No, again, so
I
what...
I feel like if you're going to be serving Hashem, it's a nice thing to...
Nice to keep kosher, at least kosher style if possible. Right. Again, I don't know if there's any warm food here. I don't know. So he said, "Ulam achrei ha'ien be'emes divrei baal mor nechonim u'pashtu the kromes ayed d'ksiv be'ezra she'amar ha'konim atem kadosh l'ashem va'akelim kadosh." It says here that these kelim I give you are holy. Va'kesev azav nidovah Hashem elokei avosechem ad kan v'sokchei Ezra haya ham. I don't know what that word's supposed to be. Shemimei ha'machtesha should be. That's what it says, actually. Mimei Moshe. Said some of these go back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mashmim Mizeh, the Kelim Kedoshim Kedusha Saguf, Kumo Akonim. Ach Kesev Vizov, Hu Rakhna Dava, Velo Guf Kedusha. So the Kelim, in fact, they maintain their Kedusha like the Kohanim does. They can't lose its Kedusha, as opposed to, you know, you talk about gold and silver that was donated, that could become holy or could not become holy. It could go either way.
Just to pick up on Max's point, putting aside the issue of kashrus, but perhaps they became tamei and would have to be titled or something like that.
Good. That's fine. Okay. We can do that.
Period and dirt.
I mean, whatever. If you assume you have the app, you can get into the Kelim Bikrin, you'll be fine. If you tell me, well, when you use them again, they're going to become kadosh, but they haven't used them again yet. They haven't made it back to Israel. So he says, in fact, that you see from this idea that that we refer to the kelim as kadosh here, you see that the klei mikdash can never lose their kedusha. It maintains its holiness throughout. Okay, so that's an important words in the lesson for him. Vanisa minar ahava b'shneim asar achodesh arishon leches Yerushalayim v'yad oheinu asar oreinu v'yatzim v'kav kol oyev v'orev al haderech. Where do those words sound familiar from? And once again, Rav Schwab steps in and he picks up on that. He says, enemies and wailers, some of them were our enemies for reasons of hatred, and some were merely orev, opportunist highwaymen, lying away from the next village. The Jews were saved from both. The phrase oyev, orev, al haderech has been incorporated into our Tvilas Haderech, traveler's prayer. So again, we pick it up. Fine. But Nova Yerushalayim, Aneshav Sham Yomim Shlosha. We got to Yerushalayim, we waited 3 days. So he went and they delivered. And of course we see that there were Levim waiting there already. And they went and they wrote down exactly what was delivered, indicating nothing was missing. And with that, they brought karbanos. They brought a dozen bulls, right? 96 rams, 77 sheep, 12 goats. All of them were brought and totally burnt. And with that, they deliver the letter, and they're set. The Gemara in Harayas talks about this a little bit, and we will talk about that. And so two comments on that, and then one other interesting point, and we'll call it a night. I'm Rav Yossi, Abayim Mashvi, Gola, Hikrivo, Olos, Oloke Yisrael, Parim Shnei Masar. Hakol Olos, Akhadaita, it said that they brought them all as Olos, meaning they were totally burned. Efshel shechatos ola. Well, wait a second. Some of them had to be chatoses. Right? They were bringing it for, you know, to make up for things they did wrong. El hakol ke ola. Ma ola lo necheros, af chatos lo necheros. It just means that, yeah, there were different karbanos, but they didn't eat from any of them. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, al avos kochavim heviyum. He said that they dwelt because, you know, they were concerned about idol worship that had been done. Vam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, avos kochavim shos be made tzidkiyo. Goes back 70 years or so. Bishma Rabbi Yehuda Mashkach Losh Neimasar Chatos Kagon the Chatush Neimasar Shvatim the Ma'aser Neimasar Seirim. Okay, so I get the number 12. 12 is one for each shevet. Meir Domer Beisdin Mevi and V'lo Atzibar Neimasar Hechi Mashkach Asar. But if only the Beisdin brings, so you should only bring one, not 12. Kagon the Chatu V'Hadu V'Chatu V'Hadu V'Chatu. I trace those in there. Because they sinned, and then they sinned again. 12 times they did it wrong. That's why they have to bring 12. Nothing to do with the Shvatim.
Would they just out of practice?
No, they were just bad. I don't know. I'm a papa, ki gemiri chata shem mesu ba'alea b'misa, hani miri b'yachid, avo lo b'tzibor fi shein misa b'tzibor. So he said, but I thought you don't bring multiples? He said, no, this is for community, you'd bring multiples. Ksiv, kapo amcha she padisa Hashem, uya kapar zet kapo al yotzei Mitzrayim. Ksiv, asher padisa. Midam, hasam kuli isnunim migud de kapara achyan, Achayim mikapara nami amesim. So again, is this being brought for the people now? Or is it brought for all the people who have, since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, sinned even if they died already? So can you bring a carbon for someone who's dead? So that's the discussion. See, he said, so he says, he said, not that there had been a lot of sinning going on, and that's why they do it. But you only commit a carbon if it's an accident. This sounds like it was purposeful. Harosha, this is an exception. Hachinami mistaver the low tema hachi, elim tishim vishesh, kvasim shivim visheva kenegin me. These are just different times. You can't learn from here to other things. Rashi comes from Azidim Havu, Dorishol Tzitkia, Nekatolaninu, Velo Bnei Karbaninu, Vahechi Meskaber Bahanu Chatos. So he says, how in fact could they get kapara if they did it on purpose? So he says, these are desperate times called for desperate measures. For whatever reason, this is an exception. That this was a rare case where you could get a kapara on an avera that was done purposely. Okay. One final comment unrelated to this, and the Shoshanim Ledavid on Maseches Tainis, who I have no idea who he is. But I saw this quoted and I thought it was a very interesting word, so I figured I'd share it. Ksiv ki be'echad ha'chodesh ha'rishon hu yesod ha'mal mi'bavel. So when did they leave Bavel to come? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Ve'echad ha'chodesh chishi ba'al Yerushalayim. And they show up on the first of Av. V'zeh Rosh Chodesh Av. V'ksiv ba'asrei v'anovi Yerushalayim v'hisham yomim shlosha. V'bayom ha'rvi nishko ha'kesef. So 3 days I sat there, and then on the fourth day, we weighed everything. V'rvi yitchil l'hakriv karbonos, k'v yikriva olos l'elokei Yisrael, parim shnei masa al kol Yisrael. So what did they do? They went and they started bringing karbonos at that point. U'mistam also dugmas chanukas ha'mishrim par echad l'chol yom. That every day they brought one karbon, just like they originally did at the chanukas ha'mishkan. So again, so if the first one was brought on the fourth, so when was the 12th brought? 4th, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15th. Right? And that day is Tu B'Av. So
I was going to say full moon.
Right. So he said, so in fact, you see that the second Beis HaMikdash was fully ready to go on the day of The reason that we celebrate Tu B'Av is because that's when the Beis HaMikdash was actually completed.
And not the third of Adar.
What?
The third of Adar, we
right.
forget.
Third of Adar, that's when Zerubbabel, but Ezra actually, he finished his on Tu B'Av. And that was the reason for the great joy. An interesting idea. We'll keep that in mind next year.